I'm running because I'm fairly young and a lifelong resident, and I feel like, based on, you know, being in radio, the number of council meetings I cover and things like that, I think that's a voice that's kind of missing from Bloomington politics. I mean, there's a little bit of youth on the council now, but I think that the voice for the person who works a regular 9-to-5, who's a, you know, just starting their careers, I feel like that's missing from Bloomington politics, and I'd like to convey those opinions to people in the discussion as a whole.
If elected, what are the most pressing problems facing the city?
I would say that the most pressing problem is definitely, you know, continuing to fix our roads, making sure, and I know that I'm blinking on the timeline on that, but I know that a couple years ago they kind of unveiled that timeline for fixing roads here in town, you know, the urgency that was needed for them, and I think that we need to review that, maybe make some changes to it, make sure that we're doing that as efficiently, quickly and safely as possible. And then after that, make sure that our city finances get stabilized. You know, I love what, you know, previous mayors have done. I love what Terry Renner has done as far as improvements to quality of life around town. But I feel like we need to, maybe especially with current financial and economic times, we need to maybe take a step back, look at those things, and make sure that they're really what's pressing for the city.
The job of mayor requires a significant input of hours at all times of day and night. Since you have a 9-to-5, how would you do that?
You know, that's something that I thought a lot about before I thought about the decision. First off, being able to trust in the council and the city manager, being able to delegate tasks. I mean, at the salary level the Bloomington mayor position is, I would have to, of course, you know, have to put food on the table for my family, and, you know, keep working. But I think that I will be able to transition into both being able to keep my 9-to-5, maybe with a little bit of adjusted hours, and then, of course, being able to meet the needs for what the mayor position needs.
What's your history of involvement in the community in terms of volunteerism and engagement with various community organizations?
You know, I would say that most people, if they've heard my name or seen me around, it would just be from my time with WJBC, you know, covering events and, you know, getting the word out and informing the community has really been, I would say, my way that I've been able to help those different entities out. You know, that's something that I've always prided myself on, you know, being able to deliver news and inform people to make sure that they know what's going on in the community, and then, of course, you know, interviewing people like you're doing right now to get the word out and make sure people stay informed.
Historically, most candidates for mayor have had long involvement with one or several community organizations and have various leadership posts to gain a base and to prove to the community that they have leadership qualities. I'm not hearing that from you, but make the case for leadership and you.
My leadership would stem from, you know, how I've been brought up, raised. No, you're absolutely right. I haven't held a, you know, necessarily leadership post in community groups or anything like that, but, you know, being able to be trusted to come in at 2 a.m. during a severe thunderstorm warning at WJBC to inform communities that, you know, a severe storm is on the way, I feel is that that's one definition of how people can trust me. I've always tried my hardest to, you know, keep my finger on the pulse of the community, maybe not necessarily up front, but at least behind, and, you know, keep myself educated and informed. And I mean, I just feel that I've been kind of a background person, you know, in my life and, you know, in the community, but I'm ready to kind of step out and Well, people who I am.
The job of mayor is certainly as foreground as it gets. Why start with mayor and not with a board or commission that you could be appointed to, or with a city council role where you can sort of acquire some leadership chops?
It's a valid question. I just feel that at this point, whenever Mayor Renner announced his bid, he wasn't going to seek re-election, that was a time for me. I've been considering some type of run in politics for a while, again, in the background, but I just feel that now is the time, and given the opportunity, you know, with interviews like this and, you know, being out in the community whenever the campaign actually begins, I'll be able to fairly quickly sway people into knowing that I can hold a leadership post.
Can you give listeners some sense of how you would approach mediating and moderating contentious issues between conflicting stakeholders from the left, the right, and the center?
You know, I'm really, really into common sense, negotiating and listening to stakeholders. I believe that most things do have multiple sides to each story, but being able to tune out the fringe side of both of those topics is really important, and something that I feel like I can do quite well. Just being able to pick out where the contentious issues are, and I believe that if we can do that, then we can, you know, you got your side, you got your side. There is this thing in the middle that we just, even if it's a shred of what we can, you know, grasp onto.
So one of the
open up the lines of communication.
So one of the biggest and most contentious issues of late has been the difference between social justice and law and order, and how conservatives and progressives view those two things as things that are perhaps mutually exclusive. How would you get those two together?
Well, I think that we all. I'm going to say that most adults at the table want a law enforcement arm that is fair and does what it says on, most of their cars to protect and serve. And I think that so long as people who are wanting social justice completely validated in some of the events that have happened across our country and even in our community, I think that they need to see that there's going to be accountability. And, you know, something I've noticed recently in a couple of national storylines, wherever there has been another instance of an unarmed African-American being shot by the police, and that officer is then immediately fired or immediately charged, you then see that there is an accountability to that case, and you don't see the uprising of violence. You know, you still see protesting because it happened again, and we're so tired of seeing it happen, but there was an accountability aspect, and that's whenever there's no accountability, that's whenever people feel the need to then, you know, go to the violent end of the spectrum.
Describe your philosophy of government. Is government there to do relatively little, or is government there to catch the people who are the have-nots in the world?
You know, I feel that a city government is there to, again, do the things that are central to what I'm trying to do. Make sure the roads stay safe and efficient. Make sure that our pensions stay stable and continuously funded. And then after those two main tenants are taken care of, we can then look to the social safety net that you talked about. You know, city government, I don't think, is necessarily the end-all, be-all for those type of social issues because, much like state government, we can't print money. We can't, necessarily do those things. And even though we would like to and we'd like those programs to exist, and we can certainly lobby for them at higher levels, but I think that once you get those core tenants, I think your overall quality of life in the city is going to increase.